Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are looking at core assets. So going down the hierarchy of assets here, going from Supermax to Star assets down to core assets. So these are going to fill out a good portion of your players. And so I think you have to think about, you know, core assets are a lot closer to Star assets at certain positions and are a lot further away at other positions, right? You can mimic, you know, especially the non-Chase Jefferson Star assets. You can mimic those at wide receiver a lot better with core assets than you can necessarily one of the top five guys at tight end, right? It's going to be a lot harder to sort of do that. You know, your quarterback's going to look a lot different in terms of expectations than your Star, your Supermax guys, right? And again, at similar cost, right? You look at, you know, Lance versus, you know, Lamar Jackson. If they're right next to each other, like, you take Lamar Jackson a gajillion times out of a gajillion. You do that over and over and over again, right? Those are massive differences, right? At running back and at wide receiver, there's just that you're subject to a lot more variance at wide receiver. And you're subject to a lot more injuries at running back, so they just operate a little bit differently. So I think that those things are, like, that's the general guiding principle of this. Again, we'll talk about different ways to sort of exploit it later, but I think that this is a big part of it is thinking about these assets and how to put them together. So we're going core assets here. So quarterback, again, the definitions of that we're using for core assets. It's any quarterback remaining in the top 10 of ADP, right, that wasn't a Star or Supermax guy. So it's primarily your guys who don't have a hit. That's generally the people that are going to be there. Top 18 guys with multiple hits on their resume and with multiple years of job security. So that gets a little bit finicky, but I think that's really the thing that again, we're trying not to miss. Right? We're trying not to miss in this range, and so that's part of it, right? So we're being a little bit selective. Also looking at rookie quarterbacks selected in the top 10 picks in the NFL draft. I'm not sure there's going to be one this year. If I had to bet, I would bet that there would be, just because scarcity and supply demand and the like. Like, someone's going to convince themselves to take a quarterback because there's going to be a need, and that's, you know, the top 10 of the NFL draft is disproportionately where the need is a quarterback. So I think that someone will convince themselves to do that. We'll see how that goes, right? We'll see how that goes. But those would be the guys that I would look at. So again, guys qualifying for that range of the position would include Trey Lance, Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields. Those are top 10 guys. Again, they're probably avoids for me. And then you look at the guys who are top 18 with multiple hits and multiple years of security. Actually, no one qualifies. So again, if you sort of look at this tier, you're like, oh, wait a second. Hey, just think about this. And I sort of force qualify some guys into this just because it's a sensible decision based on what we know, I think, anyways. But when you sort of look at these, you say, wait a second. So what you're telling me is after Wilson, after Stafford, after Rodgers, right, there's a big chasm in terms of security, in terms of certainty, in terms of profiles coming in. Yes, there's a big, big difference, right? And that's kind of what we're seeing here. So I would force into this Cousins, assuming that he gets a contract extension, which I think he will, but he's in the 20s. Right? So he's at 22, a keep trade cut right now. Derek Carr at 24. I think he's going to have multiple years of security. I think that he's more in this range than he is he looks a lot more like these quarterbacks than he does a contributing quarterback. He has multiple hits. He doesn't have a top six. Right, they're kind of like barely hits, right? So, again, he's kind of hanging on the back half of this. And Tannehill, it's very similar. I think a little bit more dense than Carr, depending on how you want to measure it. But he's got two top 12s and a quarterback 13 finish from this past year. So those are the guys there. Again, so like, I would put, you know, like, if you were to tell me Cousins outproduces Lawrence for the rest of their career, like, I actually don't think that that's an extreme statement in terms of some of the odds-based stuff that we look at. You know, is it more likely than not that the best quarterback from this tier comes from the Lance Lawrence Fields category versus the Cousins Carr Tannehill? Like, I would take, if you told me I had to take one to produce the best quarterback, I would take the Lance Lawrence and Fields one. That said, like, if you told me, you know, which is going to have three of these guys are going to finish in the top four over the next few years, and you told me it's, like, I'd probably take the Cousins, Carr, and Tannehill side, right? So, again, it matters what you're measuring and matters what you're trying to accomplish. But I think these guys, they fit differently. Again, some of these tiers can look a little bit different. You don't necessarily value them all the same. But I think that they're similar types of historical odds bets going forward. So to think about the difference in their cost, I think, is a big part of this. So that would be the core assets there at the quarterback position. When you go ahead, you look out at the running back position, you're seeing basically running back 6 through 13 in ADP. That's Eckler, Mixon, Dobbins, Gibson, Barkley, Chubb, and Cook. Then you're also looking at rookie guys with a top 12 on their resume on their rookie deal. It's Jacobs and it's Montgomery. So you basically have 9 guys that fit core assets at running back. So it's Eckler, Mixon, Dobbins, Gibson, Barkley, Chubb, Cook, Jacobs, and Montgomery. Guys that just missed off that back tier, it's Etienne, Henry, Akers is just interesting. It's fallen in cost. It's interesting. Kamara has fallen as well. I would say, generally speaking, I think Kamara probably fits better with the core assets than he necessarily does with the contributing assets, right? I think that's one that, as we go forward, I haven't moved him up there yet, but as he goes forward, I think I would think about that, right, putting them together. And I'd like to see a little bit more market data specific in terms of drafts, because I worry a little bit about keep, trade, cut might have a little bit different influences than actual drafts. But that'll be something that we'll watch for, because I think he looks more like Cook and Chubb. And if he gets a quarterback situation figured out, the like, I think he could boost in value as well to look a lot more like those guys. But those are interesting, right? So again, that's a contributing asset there. He's a tier down with like Henry and some of those other guys that I mentioned. So your core assets again at running back: Eckler, Mixon, Dobbins, Gibson, Barkley, Chubb, Cook, Jacobs, and Montgomery. Some AOD applied stuff. You know, can you go Mixon to Jacobs plus a first? Can you go Barkley to Montgomery plus a first? I don't know if you can do that, right? But like, I would think about trying to make those types of deals, right? Like, think about, And if you go, right, if you can go Barkley and a second to Montgomery and a first, right, the first future one, right, you're doing all the things that we want to do, right, which is going from one core asset to two core assets basically the cost of a contributing asset, right? That's exactly how you want to do it. You're taking a future upside shot, right? That's a good idea, right? Even if you have to go from like, hey, it's an early second this year to a first next year, like that's kind of everything that we want to do. Like you sign up to do that, right? You do that over and over and over again, and that's a plus EV bet. So that would be, you know, some different things that I would think about in terms of that position about how to exploit it. Looking at wide receiver, and you know, again, I talked about this in the prior show. There's a variety of guys in here, and I think that they can look. A lot of it is what you want to try and accomplish in this range, and I think that's especially to a wide receiver. The guys that qualify, core assets. It's not that big of a number. It's actually Deontay Johnson, T. Higgins, Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, and DJ Moore. Stephon Diggs is highlights the list of guys that are in the, that don't actually meet the 9 through 14 range, but are in the top 24 with a hit. So it's Diggs, McLaurin, Evans, Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Guys that are outside that range that I would actually include in the range are Ridley, Allen, Hopkins. So, yeah. So, let's walk through this a little bit. Again, I like Higgins. I think when you compare Higgins to a guy like Lamb, this is part of the reason why, like, I think, like, if you can go Lamb to Higgins, like, that's probably a good, like, that. This is why I would step down at wide receiver, generally, because, like, that's a good bet. And there's a lot of sort of uncertainty there in terms of, like, what side's actually, you know, there's a lot of, like, you can be, quote, right, and they perform about the same in terms of targets, and they, you know, one of them has double the touchdowns, and you know that side's right. So, which is a much more defining feature of wide receiver than some of the other positions. So that would be the big thing there that I would think about with this. Again, I'm willing to move from star to core at wide receiver, assuming that it's not, you know, I think Chase and Jefferson are probably in a tier of their own, and you can definitely move down, but it's notable they are a tier of their own. I think an AJ Brown, you know, Lamb, those types of guys, you know, I put maybe Waddle in there too. You know, Kupp and Debo and Hill maybe are older, so they might not have the same flexibility to do those sorts of things. Maybe, you know, think about it. But, you know, to basically jump down from a star asset to a core asset and get, you know, an additional core asset, I would be willing to do that at wide receiver. It's not something I typically do at tight end or want to do at quarterback, but I will do that at wide receiver. So, again, walking back through the core assets, Higgins, Adams, Godwin, DJ Moore, and then the guys that qualify with the top 12, 24 with a hit, which is the other defining feature of core wide receivers, Diggs, McLaurin, Evans, Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then we're upticking Ridley, Allen, and Hopkins into the core asset range. Ridley, especially if he comes back, he belongs in this range of guys with his longevity and his production to date. I think that qualifies him. Allen as well. He's like a discount Evans, basically, at this point. They perform very similar together. And his track record, I think he belongs in this. And the same with Hopkins. Right, the market is, I think, downticking those guys. So again, we're lengthening out the margins on those guys as being core assets. And again, I think the caution that I would give you at that is not everyone. Other people aren't going to treat them as core assets. So you have to know that going in. Again, you value guys differently. You think about them differently. You know, and they just miss, right? Like the guys that, you know, Ridley's at 25, right? He's wide receiver 25, Hopkins is at 29, and Allen's at 27, right? So they just missed that top 24. I mean, there's a couple of rookies in there as well. So you know, when you start looking at them, they're right or wrong the threshold. So again, this isn't a hard and fast rule, right? This is guideline. You kind of swerve to try and capture what you think's appropriate, and you sort of put them in that range. But you got to remember, with guys that are sort of further down, the markets, some of the forces are going to be a little bit different. So they're going to be thinking about them in the context of, you know, are these guys value risers or the like? They're probably not. But that's, I think, you know, as production bets, which is really what this is aimed at, the types of production bets, the types of you know, team building bets that you want to make, this is the right, I think, approach for the position. So then also when you look at it, you know, you're going to get in your core assets, you're going to get first round rookie running backs. Okay, so if anyone's drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, at the running back position, they will be a core asset, and future first round rookie picks, right? So you think in 2023, I guess the liquidity of a 2022 is also would apply at this point. I don't think they're getting that type of treatment, so I'd probably think a little bit differently about them. You know, especially if it's a later one, they're not getting that same treatment, so I'd be a little bit less likely to make a deal where I'm like, hey, I'll get, you know, 112 in a deal this year, right? A lot of the value of a future first being a core asset is the flexibility of what you can do with it over the course of a year, right? And you have limited outs in terms of what you can do with it right now. So that would sort of be the thought there. Again, then if you sort of take it forward, and I've done this, right? I gave a late first this year for DeAndre Hopkins, right? You could give a late first this year for Allen, right? Those things sort of fit in there. And again, it's actually, you know, you sort of look at those types of deals, like I think that's actually probably savvy of using them that way than using a future first, right? Because the future first, you want to embrace the variance of what it could be in terms of upside, right? Now you kind of know that it's not the upside, right? Now that I've sort of burned that match in terms of it being a potential top three pick or something like that, but now I can spend it on a guy that's still a core asset, right? I think that's the way. And you got to remember, if you were to sort of take it and spend it, you're not going to spend it on a core asset, right? You won't spend that on a core asset at that point in the rookie draft. So that's the sort of the interchange there between the picks. Is right, they're core assets until you use them, and at which point you use them, you're probably not using them on getting core assets. So can you go, like, listen, if you can't get a core asset for that pick, can you get a couple contributing assets, something like that? That's why trading down makes a lot of sense, right? You start thinking about these things and how they sort of work together, and this will be stuff that we'll explore, but you know, how do you preserve a core asset? And one of the things that I was saying earlier in the offseason was, like, when we were talking about, you know, Akers' injury and some of the Dobbins stuff, and some of these guys got hurt, and it was like, all right, how do we protect a core asset, right? And I remember saying that and thinking about that, and as you sort of go along that route, you don't want to burn those away. And I steal a little of this from some of the quarterbacks, from some of the NBA stuff as well, but you don't want to lose that contract spot, if you will, right? You want to figure out a sign and trade or something like that to sort of preserve that contract spot. It's a lot of what we see from there and can steal from there. So tight end's a little bit different. There's no core asset tier at tight end, right? No one really fits. I do agree that there's probably a difference between Hockenson, you know, Goddard, Fant, and like Hunter Henry. Like, there's a difference in there. I think in two PPR, it's probably more exaggerated. And I'd probably be a little bit more, I would have Goddard ahead of Fant, I think. And I would have him probably ahead of Hockenson as well. Maybe Hockenson and Goddard sort of operate as like a mini core guys there. But again, there's a lot of similarities there. That's the big thing. What you're really looking for in that range is target differentiation. And there's just not a huge target differentiation in that range. I think Hockenson and Goddard can do that. I think Hockenson could do that. I think Goddard, you know, if he were to get a huge target set, he could be really effective on them as well. So that would be the big thing that I would say about the tight end position. A lot of those guys blend together, and that's really why you got to be cautious about taking like tight end 7, right? Like, that's not typically tight end 8, tight end 10. Like, those typically aren't differentiating bets. It'd be almost just as well to take tight end, you know, 16. You know, or something like that. So those would sort of be my thoughts on that. All right. Well, that'll do it for this. Again, I think I'll zip back through these here for you. So you got it one more time. You can check it out on the website. We'll have it as a link in the podcast notes there to the hierarchy assets. But tight end, we don't really have one. I would say if there's anyone that would be it would be Hockenson and Goddard. At wide receiver, it's Deontay Johnson, Higgins, Adams, Godwin, DJ Moore, Diggs, McLaurin, Evans, Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Ridley, Allen, and Hopkins. Again, in that range, clear sell guys for me would be Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, sort of at that cost, I think is probably a guy, listen, I could pivot off of. I'd probably do that. But again, you got to remember something. His level of accomplishment to date is nothing to sneeze at. And that would be the other thing that I would say about this is, like, as you start, just take a step back from the rookie season hits a big deal. Does that mean he's going to be, you know, a big time difference maker? Does that mean he's going to be, you know, the next coming of Justin Jefferson? No, but I do think it's a big time deal. So that'd sort of be my thought there. Yeah, and so there's different, again, there's the just because they're the same types of assets doesn't mean you value them exactly the same. You just keep, they're very much in the same ballpark, though, when you think about them. Core assets include Eckler, Mixon, Dobbins, Gibson, Barkley, Chubb, Cook, Jacobs, and Montgomery. My sells in that range would be Dobbins and Gibson. I think pivoting off of those guys, what's interesting too is like, what's the argument for Dobbins over Jacobs from an upside perspective? I'm not sure. What's the argument of Dobbins over Montgomery from an upside perspective? Not sure. Right, so if you instantly want to do that deal, like I think you can do that deal. Like I have a spot where I have Dobbins, and I'm going to hunt out like a Montgomery plus upgrade because I think that'd be something that's gettable, and you could potentially do right. It's more of a home league, so I think I can sort of sneak some of those deals a little bit better through maybe than I could in a true dynasty league. So, and then at the core at quarterback, it's Lance, Lawrence, Fields, Cousins, Carr, and Tannehill. So that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance. We will talk again very soon.